Welcome to Choate's Litigation Updates, a podcast series hosted by our trial attorneys covering current litigation strategic issues in life sciences, financial services, healthcare, consumer products, and private equity.
Hello, and welcome to all of our listeners. I'm Kristen Perriello, a principal in the Government Enforcement Group here at Choate. With me today is Mike Gass, who heads up Choate's securities litigation practice. As many of you are likely aware, earlier this month, the Supreme Court issued a significant securities law decision in the Macquarie Infrastructure Corp versus Moab Partners case. Today, we're going to start by providing an overview of that case, and then we will shift our discussion to focusing on a few legal and practical takeaways arising from the decision.
And with that, let's dive in.
Great. So for those who are unfamiliar with the case, Macquarie owns a subsidiary that operates bulk liquid storage terminals for liquid commodities, including petroleum, chemicals, and oil products. One such product is number 6 fuel oil, a high sulfur fuel oil with a sulfur content around 3%. Now that's relevant because in 2016, new international fuel regulations came into effect, which capped the sulfur content of fuel oil used in shipping at 0.5% beginning in 2020. The new regulation would clearly impact the subsidiary's fuel storage business. Despite this, however, Macquarie did not discuss the new regulation in its public filings. In early 2018, however, Macquarie announced a drop in the subsidiary's fuel business, which was partly the result of a structural decline in the number 6 fuel oil market. The company's stock price fell approximately 41%. Moab Partners sued Macquarie, alleging that it had violated Rule 10b-5b by failing to disclose the information relating to the new fuel regulations under Item 303 of SEC Regulation SK. And for those who aren't familiar with Item 303, it requires that companies disclose known trends or uncertainties that have or that are reasonably likely to have a material favorable or unfavorable impact on net sales or revenues or income from continuing operations.
In other words, 303 requires quite a bit of judgment on the part of management as opposed to other disclosures which relate solely to the pure financial aspects of public filings.
Exactly. And Moab specifically took issue with the fact that Macquarie did not disclose that its subsidiary's largest product was number 6 fuel oil, which faced a near cataclysmic ban on the bulk of its worldwide use as a result of the regulation. So the district court dismissed the complaint and the Second Circuit reversed, finding that Macquarie had a duty to disclose the information and that an Item 303 violation alone could sustain a 10b-5 claim. The Supreme Court took the case to determine whether Rule 10b-5b prohibits pure omissions or only half-truths, and ultimately held in a unanimous decision that pure omissions are not actionable under Rule 10b-5b. Instead, Rule 10b-5b covers half-truths, which require the initial identification of a statement made and then consideration of whether other facts are needed to make those statements not misleading. In ruling this way, the court rejected Moab's concerns that failing to allow for liability for pure omissions would provide companies with broad immunity anytime an issuer fraudulently omitted information that it was required to disclose, explaining that private parties remain free to bring claims based on Item 303 violations that create misleading half-truths, and that the SEC retains authority to prosecute violations of its own regulations, including Item 303.
So, Kristen, in this context, how would you describe the difference between a half-truth and an omission?
Well, the court actually provided a clear and simple example that nicely illustrates the difference. So the difference between a child not telling his parents he ate a whole cake, which would be a pure omission, and telling them that he had dessert without revealing that the dessert was an entire cake, which would be a half-truth. Now, of course, security cases will never be this straightforward, but the example is nonetheless helpful conceptually.
And so importantly, the Supreme Court in this decision has narrowed the scope of potential 10b-5 liability in the circuit that is home to the highest number of securities cases, that is the Southern District of New York.
Exactly. And courts in the 3rd, 9th, and 11th circuits had already adopted this approach. But Mike, are there any circumstances where this factual scenario could result in 10b-5 liability?
Absolutely. So plaintiffs could still bring these cases as long as they identify some statement elsewhere in the company's disclosures that is no longer true in light of the omission. For example, in this case, saying nothing about the new sulfur standard could be actionable under 10b if there was an outstanding disclosure to the effect that there are no legal or regulatory restrictions material to the company's business. Because in that hypothetical scenario, the omission of the new standard renders an existing disclosure statement untrue.
Absolutely. Mike, can you talk a bit about some of the other key takeaways and potential implications for companies resulting from this decision?
Sure, there are a few. First of all, this decision undoubtedly raises the bar for plaintiffs seeking to bring omissions claims under Rule 10b-5. Based on this decision, plaintiffs no longer can proceed with a fraud by hindsight type theory of the case because pure silence will not be viewed as misleading in this context. In their complaint, securities plaintiffs will have to tether any omission allegation to one or more specific disclosures that are made untrue or no longer true due to the omission. It will be really interesting to see how this decision impacts the frequency with which defendants prevail at the motion to dismiss stage. Secondly, it would be a mistake to read this decision as immunizing all item 303 violations based on pure omissions. While the Supreme Court was clear that such violations cannot support a 10b-5 fraud claim, it also noted that the SEC retains the authority to prosecute violations of its rules and regulations, including item 303. Third, while the Supreme Court's decision was focused on item 303, it seems likely that the rationale of the decision will apply equally to other items in Regulation SK. And finally, as always, public companies should always take care to ensure that their public statements are accurate, and they should make sure that they understand the relevant rules and regulations and seek guidance and obtain legal advice on any unclear issues.
And with that, we want to thank you for joining us today. We hope you found this podcast valuable.
For more information, please visit www.choate.com. You can also listen to additional podcast episodes in the newsroom of our website and subscribe to them wherever you listen to podcasts, including iTunes, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. The information presented in this recording is for educational purposes only. It does not constitute legal advice for a specific situation. If you wish to obtain legal advice, you should retain an attorney and explain the facts of your particular situation.